Baptist Radio.
I do want everyone to feel comfortable. That's why I'd like to talk to you about Jesus. He better not. It doesn't matter if you're religious or not. Does anything make you feel more uncomfortable than some stranger going, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus?
Yeah, I'd like you not to. Strategist Radio.
Raw and real. No crap. No fluff. No hype. Just pure strategic pleasure from his playbook to yours. Love, affection, and looking out for you. Live from the Trinity WebWorks Business Radio Studios on the Trinity Broadcast Network. The Strategist Radio Live with your Italian ace in the hole, TJ Marino. Empowering your business and marketing efforts with pinpoint accuracy.
I feel the need for speed.
Deploying targeted tactics.
I got tone. Fire it.
And leading edge business and marketing with purpose.
Up there, we got to push it.
The Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino.
Okay, 6:02 on the West Coast. Welcome to Monday, the 28th day of March, 2016. How are you? So today on the program, we're talking about the entrepreneur strategy, 12 barriers that block business success. Crafting a successful business is no easy accomplishment, although you already knew that, right? You see, Poole, all your resources together, you conduct comprehensive due diligence, avoid and overcome obstacles. But still, why is it that 90% of new business ventures fail to acquire market share and generate sustainable profits? As an entrepreneur, we must remain nimble, vigilant, if we're going to succeed, right? So in order to do so, we must first prepare ourselves for the many hurdles, interruptions, and difficulties that will come our way. So today on the program, we'll talk about how to move past these 12 barriers that block business success. Also, the success strategy. How about the art of expertly reading body language? What does your body say when you're having a conversation? Arianda Jacob will check in. She's the founder of Influencers.com. She'll talk about social media strategy and how to become a social media influencer. And we'll check in at Pepperdine University with entrepreneurship lecturer Kyle Murphy, talking about creating the killer business plan. All ahead on this edition of Strategist Radio Live. Welcome to the program, and thank you very much again for your love and support. Appreciate that a lot. Love getting your emails at support at tjmarino.com. Also visiting with you on social media platforms like Twitter and LinkedIn. If we're not already connected, first time to the program, we're in about our 14th year of the program. And, you know, here's the thing. We broadcast out to over 120 countries, and so I'm making new friends on a global scale, and I love that. And social media is so powerful. Let's hook up on LinkedIn. If we're not already connected there, made it easy for you. It's a redirect, tjmarino.com/LinkedIn. And on Twitter, it's tjmarino.com/Twitter. All right. So today we got a lot to cover. Because, you know, entrepreneurialism is it's ambiguous at best for many people. And there are so many barriers when you begin a new business, a new venture. I'm going to talk about 12 barriers on the program that actually get in the way of many businesses moving past that 90% failure rate in just a few minutes. But first, let's talk a little bit about our body language. And our bodies have a language of their own, and their words aren't always kind. Your body language has likely become kind of an integral part of who you are, to the point where you might not even think about it. Well, I want you to think about it also from the perspective, maybe you're HR person, and you're bringing somebody in for an interview, and you're taking a look at their body language. What are they telling you subliminally with their bodies? So let's just talk about a few of these. Slouching. What does that mean? If you're a sloucher, or you're talking to somebody that's slouching, it's really a sign of disrespect. It communicates that an individual is bored and has no desire to be where they are at that particular moment in time. You would never tell your boss, "I don't understand why I have to listen to you." But if you slouch, you don't have to. Your body says it for you, loud and clear. See, your brain is hardwired to equate power with the amount of space people take up. Standing up straight with your shoulders back is really a power position. It also maximizes the amount of space you fill. So slouching, on the other hand, is the result of collapsing your form. It takes up less space and projects less power. So you want to maintain that good posture, all right, for yourself. And again, so you're able to be able to identify how someone else maybe is feeling about a conversation you're having with them. Exaggerated gestures. Now, this is something that I do a lot because I use facial expressions, probably because I do radio, probably because I'm Italian. I'm using my hands all the time. This can simply imply that you're stretching the truth, which I'm thinking, I'm just going to tie my hands behind my back or something because I don't want people to think I'm fibbing. You got to aim for small, controlled gestures to indicate leadership and confidence. And open gestures, like maybe spreading your arms apart or showing the palms of your hands, to communicate that you have nothing to hide. What about watching the clock? What does that mean? Well, we might know what that means, but while talking to someone, it's a clear sign of disrespect, impatience, and sometimes an inflated ego. It sends the message that you have better things to do than talk to the person you're with and that you're anxious to get out of there. Turning yourself away from others during a conversation or not leaning into your conversation, this can portray an unengaged, uninterested, uncomfortable, and perhaps even disgustful position towards the other person having the conversation with you, talking to you. So try leaning in towards the person who is speaking. Maybe even tilt your head slightly. I like to do this. I like to listen with my eyes. I'm having a conversation with somebody. Try this. Listen with your eyes. Keep your mouth shut and just listen with your eyes. Maybe nod your head. Lean in. What about the crossed arms and crossed legs? Now, to some degree, these are physical barriers that suggest you're not open to what the other person is talking about. Even if you're smiling or engaged in a pleasant conversation, the other person may get a nagging sense that you're really cutting them off. Even if holding or folding your arms feels comfortable, resist the urge. Kind of like doing, put your hands in the pockets, right? Resist the urge to do so if you want people to see you as open-minded and interested in what they have to say. Inconsistency between your words and your facial expressions causes people to sense that something isn't quite right, and then they begin to suspect that you're trying to deceive them, even if they don't know exactly how or why. As an example, a nervous smile while rejecting an offer during a negotiation probably won't help you get what you want. It will just make the other person feel uneasy about working with you because they might assume that you're up to something. The exaggerating nod. How about the bobblehead? You do the bobblehead? Signals of anxiety about approval. People may perceive your bobblehead or exaggerated nods as an attempt to show you agree and understand that you, when you actually have no clue. Then there's the fidgeting. Fidgeting with or fixing your hair, you know, or playing with your face or your chin, or, you know, touching your nose every 10 seconds, like you're the baseball coach on third base. Shows that you're anxious, you're over-energized, maybe you're self-conscious, and also it can show that you are distracted. People will perceive you as an overly concerned individual about your physical appearance and not so much concern with the conversation that you're having with the person or not having with the person. Avoiding eye contact, I talked about that. You listen with your eyes. Sustained eye contact communicates confidence, leadership, respect, strength, intelligence, so use your eyes. Now, when I'm on the flip side of that, eye contact, don't get too intense, because that can hurt. That can be perceived as aggressive or an attempt to dominate the conversation. On average, Americans hold eye contact for 7 to 10 seconds longer when we're listening than we do when we're talking. The way we break contact sends a message as well. Glancing down communicates submission, while looking to the side projects confidence. So don't get too freaky looking when you're looking at people, you know, listening with your eyes. Rolling the eyes, you kind of know that one. Sometimes it's involuntary, but you can control it. And basically it shows a lack of respect. Scrowling, you know what scrowling is. Or having a generally unhappy expression. So obviously that sends a message that you're upset with the people around you. Okay, smiling suggests that you're open, again, trustworthy, confident, and friendly. I don't mean you'll have a jerky smile where you look like an idiot, but you have just kind of a little smirk, a nice little smiley, and show some of your teeth. Make sure you're brushing before a conversation. No stinky breath. That's not body language. That's a whole sidebar. I could do a whole show on that. Weak handshakes. The fish handshake. What about that one? Lack of authority, confidence. If a handshake's too strong, then you're being too aggressive. Okay, just get in there, nice firm handshake, and look them right in the eye with a nice little smile. Clench fists during a conversation, kind of like the crossed arms and legs, means you're being closed off. And then also this one, the final one, is getting too close. If you stand too close to someone, nearer than like a foot and a half, it can signal that you have no respect for them or you don't respect their personal space. This will make people feel very uncomfortable when they're around you. So we want to avoid these body language blunders. They'll help you form stronger relationships, both personally and professionally.
Strategist Radio.
You notice I didn't throw in there like things like the middle finger and hand gestures. That's a whole other program in and of itself, too. This is a family show. But I will say my poor grandmother, my dad's mom, she ended up having a hand injury when she was little, right? And somehow she cut a nerve, so she always was flipping everybody off. She didn't mean to, but her middle finger was always up in the air. So when she was waving to you... Oh, Grandma Marino. Okay, so we're going to talk about 12 barriers that block business success, the entrepreneur strategy, but first... let's check in with Ariadna Jacob, founder of Influencers.com, social media marketing strategy and how to become a social media influencer.
A lot of people ask me, how do I become a social influencer? And I can give you a couple tips. The first one is decide in one word what you want to stand for. Pick something that you could talk about for the rest of your life and never get bored by. Another one is to be consistent. Whatever your messaging is, make sure it's consistent across the board, all your social channels. The next one is to give, and then ask. So give tips, give resources, develop white papers, videos, whatever you can, and eventually your followers are going to feel like they owe you one, and when you put out a book, when you put out a product, they're going to definitely want to support you. Another one is to listen. A lot of times we're just talking. We're putting out stuff on Twitter and on all these social channels, but we're not actually engaging with our followers. And you think about people in real life and how we have conversations. If somebody doesn't ask me how I'm doing or about my business or what I'm doing, then ultimately I don't really like that person. I don't trust them, don't want to do business with them because they're all about themselves. So make sure that you're listening. Another one is hang out with other influencers. I think that the best business tip in life is to hang out with people smarter than you. And it's the same thing if you want to be a social influencer. Hang out in the same circles as other influencers by connecting with them on Twitter, subscribing to their YouTube channels, reading their books, and if there's real world events, participating in those as well. The next one is provide something of value that people will give you their email for. But what do I talk about the email is because if people actually are influenced by you, giving up their email address is not going to be that big of a deal. They actually want to hear from you. And when you put out those emails, make sure that you put them out in a conversational tone so that they know that it's actually you putting them out there. The next one is keep learning so you're always a thought leader. I think that anybody who wants to be the smartest person in the room at any given time is actually probably not an influencer, because influencers always want to keep learning. The next one I think is really important, and that's share with people what you know, even if you think that what you're teaching is a no-brainer. Ultimately, you're going to know what you know really, really well, but that doesn't mean that somebody else knows everything that you know. So even if something seems pretty trivial or simple to you, being able to teach that and pay it forward actually can make you an influencer.
Strategist Radio.
Yeah, social media is not for the narcissistic opera singer. Look at me, buy my stuff. People don't care. It's what's in it for them. Be an infotainer. Look at the trends. Listen to the conversation. Sometimes you have to shut up and listen. Then you collect your intel. And then you embark upon a conversation or share information. We call that curation. Maybe you've written something amazing and you want to share it. It's going to help teach, inform, educate, entertain. But make sure you stay on point. Remember, it's always about them and not about you. I like to call that gifting first. 6:16 right now, Monday morning. Strategist Radio Live. Entrepreneur Strategy. We'll talk about the 12 barriers that block your business success in just a couple of minutes. But first, let's check in with Kyle Murphy, entrepreneurship lecturer at Pepperdine University, talking about creating the killer business plan.
So first, to kick off, what is a business plan and do I need one? Well, a business plan is a plan of how and what your business is going to do. You know, everything from revenue streams to expenses and cost structure to who you're going to target, what your product is going to be, how you're going to market, and how you're going to get customers, who's the management team. You know, it's a rather all-encompassing piece. And, you know, a lot of startups and entrepreneurs, you know, they just want to get going. They don't want to take the time, you know, to dig into a business plan. But, you know, there's a lot of different formats, which we'll discuss in a moment. But the important thing is, yes, you have to have a business plan. You wouldn't start building a house that you expect to hold up, you know, in all environments and to make it through hurricanes and make it through any other natural disaster unless you had a proper architecture plan of how to build it and what components to use. Same thing as with a business. You really need to understand what are all the key components that come together, how do they work together, who's going to do what. And really what it comes down to is you can't raise money if you don't have a business plan. So whether you want it or not, you'd love to just build your whole idea off the back of a napkin. If you want a business, you're going to have a plan you show, and you need to raise capital, of course. If you have a business and you want to raise capital, you're going to have a business plan to show somebody. So yes, you absolutely need to do it. But just for your own sake, if you're going to commit your time, your sweat equity, and maybe some of your own money, and particularly other people's money, you want to know that you've thought through all the details. Now, will a business plan change? Yes. Any component you put into a business plan in the beginning is really a guess or a hypothesis. You're going to guess this is the target market you're going to serve, at the price you're going to do, and the product you're going to make, and all the other details. But you don't really know until you get up and running. And that's really what the challenge of being an entrepreneur is about, is knowing how to identify all the key pieces of a business model that I need to identify, writing it into a business plan that I can execute. So yes, you need one, and it's going to be one of the core components of you being successful or potentially failing in your startup.
Strategist Radio.
Past 6, 28th day of March, 2016. How you doing? Hey, listen, you got questions about business strategy, business startup, entrepreneurship, marketing, competition, analyses? Send me an email, support@tjmarino.com. The team takes a look at all of it, and we will respond to you. Also, help yourself to all the free materials on the hub. It's there for you at tjmarino.com. All right, so let's talk about the 12 barriers that block business success. You know, crafting a successful business is not simple. get all your resources together, you conduct your due diligence, you identify obstacles, you do all of your analyses, situation analyses, competitive analysis, feasibility studies, your pro forma, and still 90% of new businesses fail. Why is that happening? A lot of times it's because we're tanking our own head or we're listening to the wrong people. I want to talk about 12 barriers that we can overcome. That's the good news. All right. So first of all, sounds like a simple one, but you got to believe. You got to surround yourself with talented people. You got to ignore the babies and the negativity Nellies and the negativity Neds. And you got to truly believe in what you have to offer and that your offer, your product or service will benefit others. And then you go forth with confidence, armed with proof of your products or services benefits. Feature is factory talk, iPhone, but what's the benefit? You got to feel confident. Again, entrepreneurs avoid the insecurity of calling on new customers, don't they? Who wants to dial for dollars? I mean, the fear of launching a new venture or even doubt that you're going to succeed. But those who succeed put hesitation aside and do it anyway. Do it anyway. You never know how close you are. Because in number three position, it's making those sales calls. You got to reach out. Whether it's knocking on doors, picking up the phone, using social media, using email, you are in business to make money. And the only way to make money is through getting and keeping customers slash clients. Out of sight, out of mind, your competitors, while you're napping, will turn out your lights. That's why it's important to make it a priority to keep in touch, particularly with old contacts. You know, a lot of times people just forget about their old contacts, and they just, that's it, just disappear. And over a period of time, you just, what are you doing for me today? I haven't heard from you for 5 years. And then your competitor comes along and swipes the deal from you. Because you didn't reach out. You didn't stay with them. You got to follow up with prospective clients. A lot of people will go out and spend thousands of dollars at a trade show, grab a billion business cards, come home and make no phone calls. Won't reach out. How stupid is that? Don't do that. Follow up with prospective clients. You can make it in person and do this on a very regular basis. Maybe weekly, bi-monthly, monthly basis, but don't let the tether slip from your fingers. You have to dare to be different. Steve Jobs is amazing at that. He didn't just dance to everybody else's music. He danced to his own drummer. It's probably one of the things that's made me successful. It's because I took those risks, and I'm going to be me. What do you think of Donald Trump? Why is everybody in love with Donald Trump? Look at the numbers. Because he's different. So make a list of all the things that differentiate you, your company, and products from your competition and use them as selling points. We call that the differentiation strategy. Demonstrate why you're different and what makes you better. Next, you got to be nice. Now, it's not easy to be nice all the time, especially when others are not nice to you. But to be successful, act like you would like to be treated if you were the client. Create a corporate culture of gentleness, kindness. Remember, you're serving other people. You're in service. That's what you do, the product or service. You're serving people. You have to step out on a limb sometimes. Zero tries equals zero payoff. If you don't ask, the answer is always no. Don't be afraid to attend networking meetings. Maybe launch a new product. Ask for a big sale. That's one of the things a lot of salespeople don't do, is they'll go through the entire process and then they forget to ask for the sale. Request a referral or convince an investor to support your vision through a proper business plan. Next, you have to deliver results. Talk is cheap, blah, 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 blah. People don't care. People want to see the results. People buy your offerings because they expect and deserve results. And good or great results will produce repeat customers and the word of mouth marketing that we all love. Don't let customers down by providing a shoddy product. Inept customer service sucks, or even faulty communication. be responsive. The quicker you respond, the more likely you will get the sale. You have to be accountable. Don't blame everybody else. You got three fingers pointing back at yourself every time you point and blame someone else. As a business owner, you are accountable for everything that happens within the context, confines of your business. You have to be a person that has the ability to delegate and then delegate. Nobody can successfully do everything in a business and still grow. It's impossible. Discover what tasks you don't like. Perhaps it's accounting. Maybe your core competency is not in social media, or maybe you don't understand legal aspects. Delegate it to other people that are the experts. This will free you up so that you can play at your best. Do you want to serve a half cup of yourself to everybody or a full cup? Finally, you got to fail. That's important. Even the most successful entrepreneurs have failed numerous times. Richard Branson, 25 years ago, I had a bankruptcy. It happens. But it's getting back up that sets you apart. That makes you courageous. You're going to get hit, but the question is, are you going to get back up on your feet? Then you're going to play another day. Be bitter or be better. Next, you have to forgive yourself. It can be difficult to admit a mistake. But if you're not making mistakes, then you stayed in bed. Maybe that's a mistake. But listen, you're going to disappoint a customer. You're going to make a misstep. Remember, it's not the end of the day. It's not the end of the world. Dust yourself off and get ready for the next pitch. Don't stew about it for too long. It's a waste of time. And you won't gain anything from wallowing in your negativity. And then finally, you got to keep pushing forward. Whenever you feel stagnant, continue to put one foot in front of the other. Don't get stuck in a rut. Keep an eye on your big picture. That's why your mission statement and your business plan, this whole dream of yours, you'll eventually accomplish your goals. It might not be this time around, but it'll come if you stay with it. It's like a lottery ticket. Yeah, it's the one in a gabillion, and you might win a gabillion dollars, right? But if you don't play, what's the chances of winning? Close your eyes. What do you see? 0.0 chance. So stay motivated. Maybe hire a career coach. Send me an email. I'll kick you in the pants. Maybe get a mastermind group. Network with like-minded individuals. But don't quit. Even the best teams lose a couple of games on the way to the Super Bowl, don't they, or even the World Series. Always be learning. Always be training. Keep your nose to the grindstone. Stay focused on your goal. And give your customers and clients the very best. All right? I like to use the love factor. That's what I do. You know, as a leader, I would say that I'm probably a cross between transformational, authentic, and servant leader. How do you lose? If you're out there sharing yourself and sharing the love and the fact that you care and you're gracious and you're respectful and make people feel like they're just the greatest thing that's ever been invented and mean it. Don't BS them, mean it, and watch what happens. I love you very much. God bless you. Thanks for being my friend. Go out and love somebody. I'll see you soon. Make it a great day. Kelly, please close it out.
Live from the Strategist Business Radio Studio, this has been the Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, comments, ideas, victories, and even your business's silliest business spoofs. We invite you to contact us anytime. If you'd like to share your business best practice strategy on an upcoming edition of the show with our global audience, email Tony at support@tjmarino.com. Be sure to make your way to the Hub and help yourself to all the fresh, relevant, and timely business strategy materials, including the complete radio archive library, by visiting and bookmarking tjmarino.com. If you would like Tony to set aside the time to review your present business strategy, send your request in care of support@tjmarino.com. We'll see you again Monday through Friday, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific, for our next raw and real intimate get-together on the Strategist Radio Live.